For our scripture reading this morning, we will turn to two portions of scripture. First of all, the first book of the Bible, Genesis, the book of Genesis, chapter 14. The verses 17 through 24. And then we will read the epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 7, the verses 1 through 17. But first we will read from the book of Genesis, chapter 14, the verses 17 through 24. And there we read God's holy word, "And the king of Sodom went out to meet him, that is Abraham, after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shavi, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, 'Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand.' And he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, 'Give me the persons and take the goods to thyself.' And Abram said to the king of Sodom, 'I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them take their portion." And now we will turn to the epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 7, the verses 1 through 17. "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who received the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithe of the people according to the law, that is, to their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithe of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithe, paid tithe in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek, and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our lords sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. So far the reading of the Word of God. The text of the sermon is found in the portion we read from the book of Genesis, chapter 14, the verses 18, 19, and 20. Genesis 14, the verses 18, 19, and 20, where we read the text of the sermon, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave them tithes of all. Beloved congregation, last week we heard that Abraham went on a warpath after he had heard that Lot and his family were captured by the soldiers of King Chedorlaomer, this mighty king who reigned in Mesopotamia. Mesopotamia had extended his power to the cities in the south, in the plains of Jordan. And these cities were made to pay tribute to Chedorlaomer for 12 years. And in the 13th year, they refused to pay any longer. And his response to this unwillingness to pay tribute was that he and his allied kings undertook a punitive expedition through the whole region that was rebelling against them. And during this expedition, they had overtaken the five cities in the plains of Jordan and had made captive many citizens, among whom was Lot and his family. And one that escaped came to Abraham and told him all that had happened. And Abram mobilized a small army of 380 men, with which he followed the army of Chedorlaomer. The Lord delivered Lot and his family from his predicament by the means of Abraham's small army. Not only Lot's family was delivered, all the cities and their possessions were delivered by Abraham. He smote Chedorlaomer's soldiers so that they had to flee. And after this deliverance, the long possession of people and their possessions went back to Jordan's plain. This must have taken several days, since this long procession could not move fast. Abraham and his men escorted this procession. And then finally they reached the valley of Shavi, which is the Kingsdale. And in that valley, a special meeting took place. A meeting between Abraham and the king of Sodom, but also a meeting between Abraham and Melchizedek, king of Salem. We will bypass the meeting with the king of Sodom and we'll concentrate on the meeting between Abraham and the priest king Melchizedek. We write above the sermon, the meeting between Abraham and Melchizedek, the occasion of this meeting and the meaning of this meeting. The meeting between Abraham and Melchizedek, the occasion of this meeting and the meaning of this meeting. The meeting between Abraham and King Melchizedek took place under special circumstances. Abraham has returned from his expedition, and the Lord has graciously helped in his effort to deliver Lot and the many citizens. He has battled and conquered by the Spirit of the Lord. And last week we have seen that Abraham, as a humble man, was moved with compassion on Lot and the citizens of Sodom. Abraham lived close to the Lord. And with the words of the Apostle Paul, we can conclude that he could do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth him. And this is what we should keep in mind when we see Abraham approaching the King's Valley, also known as the Valley of Shaphi. Left to his own, Abraham could have easily become proud. He had conquered the enemy. He had delivered Lot and his family and all the citizens and their possessions. Abraham was vulnerable to become proud and haughty like all of us. He was a man with a nature like ours, who would not feel proud after a great victory, who would not be vulnerable to Satan's attack, who perfectly knows the weaknesses of our flesh, who is not inclined to start reasoning beyond the limits of God's word. Abraham could reason that the Lord had sustained him with beating Chedorlaomer's army. If he was able to beat that powerful army, would he not also be able to beat the Canaanites and the Amorites and other nations living within the borders of the promised land? Abraham did not reason. No, by God's grace, he had learned to swallow his pride. He lived in dependence on the Lord. Since he lived close to the Lord, he was kept from proud thoughts. And with this attitude, he was able to refuse the proposal of the king of Sodom, as we read in verse 21. The king of Sodom offered him to take the spoils, but to let him take back his subjects that had been taken and carried away by Chedorlaomer. Abraham was not overtaken by covetousness. He did not want the spoils. Abraham depended on the grace of the Lord. And this is what we also clearly see in the meeting with the king of Salem, called Melchizedek. When the king of Sodom went to meet with Abraham, King Melchizedek came in between, bringing Abraham and his men bread and wine. So Moses, the author of the book of Genesis, moves the focus from a dependent king of Sodom to the king of Melchizedek, who did not depend on Abraham, but who was in a higher position. Why was that? We meet Abraham here as a modest and humble man, with the intention to refuse the offer of the king of Sodom, but willing to accept the offer of King Melchizedek. Why? Well, this has to do with the added title that is given to this king of Salem. What is his title? He's also called a priest of God Most High. So the king also was a priest. He was a king priest and a priest king. He bore two offices. What does this mean? We should pay close attention to the names which are mentioned in our text. Melchizedek was king of Salem. Salem is known in the Bible as the old name for the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem became the capital city of Israel, where the Lord wanted to be served in the temple. The Hebrew word shalom means peace. Melchizedek was king of peace. Verse 18 also tells us that this king was a priest, not just any priest as could be found in many places, namely a priest of one of the many gods that were served by the people of that area. No, he was the priest of the Most High God. Do you know what it means? It simply means that he was appointed to the office of priest by the Lord God, the same God who was served by Abraham. At that time, the knowledge of God had largely been lost through widespread idolatry. Before God had called Abraham, he did also serve the idols. God, however, had called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. And if the Lord had not called him out, he would still be living in Mesopotamia, serving the idols. However, through God's call, Abraham did repent from the idols and return to the living God. Maybe some of us have the idea that Abraham and his family and servants were the only ones that knew the living God. Well, from this account we learn that there were more who served the living God. And Melchizedek was one of the descendants of Shem who had kept the fear of the Lord. Melchizedek sincerely served the Lord. And God had appointed him to the office of priest. How? We don't know. There are many questions which can be raised about the appearance of the person of Melchizedek. Scripture does not tell us any details about this priest. However, what we know about him opens a wide spectrum of the gospel. This Melchizedek approached Abraham with blessings. The meeting was initiated by Melchizedek. Abraham did not ask for him. Melchizedek was sent by God. Melchizedek is a special name. His name means "My King is righteous," or "Righteous King." This means that the priest of God was also a king who reigned by righteousness. If you contemplate these aspects of our text, you will acknowledge that we have to do with a special person. Melchizedek is not an ordinary king and priest. His name, his appearance, and his power lead us to a deeper understanding of our text. We should not only hone in on Abraham who met Melchizedek and who was blessed by him. When we compare scripture with scripture, we discover that the appearance of the priest Melchizedek refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is quite special what happens in Genesis 14. The attention moves from Abraham to Melchizedek. Last week we heard that Abraham's compassion refers to the compassion of the Lord. Abraham had followed the powerful army of Chedorlaomer and delivered Lot and his family out of his hands. And we heard that this is a picture of the Lord's compassion towards sinners. The Lord is moved with compassion to people who deserve nothing but eternal punishment. And now the attention is moved from Abraham to Melchizedek. Melchizedek also refers to Christ, especially to the office as high priest. How? Well, if you know your Bible well, then you know that we can find the name Melchizedek more often. 1,000 years after the event of Genesis 14, his name appears in the book of Psalms. In only one single verse. It is a significant verse. Psalm 110. The Lord has sworn and will not repent, "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." And there are many things of this text which we cannot grasp. In this psalm, the Lord reveals to us that God has sworn that His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be an everlasting high priest, a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And another 1,000 years later, we read again an exposition about God's redemptive work by the Lord Jesus Christ in the Epistle to the Hebrews. A magnificent feature of God's redemptive work is revealed to us in this impressive figure of Melchizedek. In these scripture portions, we notice something of the wonder of God's wisdom. It's a gem that displays the divine inspiration of Scripture. We notice something of the unity in Scripture. God guided Melchizedek and Abram in this account. And the Lord had a special purpose with the meeting between Abraham and Melchizedek. It was a meeting by which the Lord reveals what would happen 2,000 years later with the Son of God. God's everlasting counsel was revealed to David in Psalm 110, namely what God intended to do. And it came in the form of a promise to his son, "Thou art a priest forever." And later, the author of the Epistle to the Hebrews explained, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, what this all means. For a better understanding of the words of our text, we have read Hebrews chapter 7. And the first verses refer to the account of Genesis 14. And you should know that in Hebrews 7, we don't read the name Melchizedek for the first time. Also, chapter 5 and 6 mention his name in solemn words. "Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek." And what do these solemn words mean? What is meant by the order of Melchizedek? What is so unique to this Old Testament priest? Well, in verse 3 of Hebrews 7, the apostle unfolds this. And there we read, "Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually." The apostle explains, of Melchizedek, we don't read a genealogy. We don't know who his father and mother were. We don't know when he died and how. We don't know both the origin and end of this priest. He was suddenly in the king's valley and he suddenly disappeared. He had the appearance of an everlasting priest. This is how the Holy Spirit is pleased to reveal to us the person of Melchizedek in Genesis 14. Does this mean that Melchizedek did not have parents and that he did not die? No, of course not. However, the manner in which he is introduced in Genesis 14 reveals something of the more than Melchizedek, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is from everlasting to everlasting. The fact that nothing of his birth or death is mentioned has a symbolic meaning. It refers to Christ's unique priesthood. Christ is like Melchizedek. He is a high priest without beginning and without end. He is an everlasting high priest. And this is the meaning of the phrase which we repeatedly read in Hebrews, namely, after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus Christ is more than the high priest Aaron. As you know, the Lord had appointed Aaron and his offspring to the office of high priest. The service of Aaron and his successors have come to an end. That priesthood did not last forever. And we know the same of Aaron's parents. We know of his offspring. And about them we read that they all passed away. But how different is the Lord Jesus Christ? He is high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He is an everlasting high priest. And in light of this, the history, as it is recorded in Genesis 14, comprises a rich message. It is not only about Melchizedek, a priest of the Most High God who blessed Abraham. This account refers to the Lord Jesus Christ and to his work for his church. Genesis 14 shows us how the Lord Jesus Christ deals with his church. He seeks his people and he blesses them and he feeds them with all kinds of spiritual food. Since he is an everlasting high priest, he is also king, an eternal king. And let us follow the history recorded in Genesis 14 as we seek to find the answer of the meaning of this special meaning between Abraham, the special event, occasion between Abraham and Melchizedek, our second point. Melchizedek appeared unexpectedly. Abraham did not seek out this king-priest for a blessing. No, the priest, King Melchizedek, took the initiative. Suddenly he was there. He's a contrast to the king of Sodom. It's not clearly expressed in our translation, but the first word of verse 18 of Genesis 14 can also be translated to but. But Melchizedek. Why but? Because he is so different than the king of Sodom and all the other kings who were defeated. He is a completely different type of king, since he is a priest king, appointed to be the priest of the Most High God. And his name clarifies the uniqueness of this king, Melchizedek, king of righteousness. He was king of Salem, king of Shalom, king of peace. Do you hear? He is king of righteousness and king of peace. And these are two characteristics of the kingdom of God, which are closely related to each other. Don't we read them together? Righteousness and peace. For instance, in Psalm 72, verse 3, the mountain shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. Or Psalm 85, verse 10, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. God's righteousness is a righteousness of peace. And God's peace is a righteous peace. From God, we can expect nothing but good. And that's the miracle of the gospel. It pleases the Lord to bless his people. Why? Are his people so good and well behaved? Do they honor him so well? Do they obey and serve him in accordance with his holiness? Are God's people God-honoring people who are so able to please God? No, not at all. Left to their own, we have no peace with God. And by nature, we hate God and our neighbor. We are far from peace. We have left our creator and sustainer of life. By nature, we rebel against God. We cannot live close to God. We don't even want to. How will peace be established between God and you? How will you ever stand before his throne of justice without getting condemned? Here in Genesis 14, God reveals to us who he has sent into this world. He has sent his Son, who is an everlasting high priest, and who justly bears the names Righteous and Prince of Peace. God's people have come to see their need of him. In principle, they know him. As what? As high priest. That is emphasized in Genesis 14. Melchizedek is a priest sent by the Lord to Abraham. And he came in order to bless. He came with all the priestly benefits. And this is most noteworthy of the high priest, who is more than Melchizedek. The epistle to the Hebrews refers to him time and again. He is high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He is priest over the house of God. And how can this priest distribute the various blessings? How can I become a partaker of Christ and all his benefits? How can my sins be forgiven? How can I get peace with God? Only because this high priest has atoned with his own blood. This distinguishes him from Aaron or even Melchizedek, who lived in the days of Abraham. The Lord Jesus has brought on an offering for sin. He has given himself into death and to the night of everlasting condemnation. He, the high priest, bore the wrath of God in his body and soul. And he offered himself up to God as a sacrifice in order to satisfy God's justice that was necessary. Why? Because of our sins. Because of our guilt. And therefore he needed to be condemned to death in the place of his people. He took upon him the curse due to us, that he might fill his people with his blessings. His body was broken and his blood was shed due to our sins. This is the only way of redemption. This is the only way to become reconciled to God. There is no other way of salvation. Do you understand something of this? I mean, do you personally know your need for this high priest who is more than Melchizedek? Who is an everlasting high priest? Do you understand something of this when the Lord has opened your eyes for your sins? Your sins. That means more than simply admitting that you are a sinner like we all are by nature. No, when the Lord drives home this uncovering teaching, you will have only one concern. I am a wretched sinner, and I need to be reconciled to God. Well, this is the gospel for all those who are in need of redemption. Christ Jesus has satisfied God's justice. In Jesus Christ, you will find righteousness and peace. Do you hear? Melchizedek was king of Salem. He was the king priest of righteousness and of peace. You are most blessed if you know Christ, whom God has sent to obtain righteousness and peace for his people. Like Paul says in Romans 5 verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus has obtained righteousness and peace for poor sinners. He has obtained a complete redemption. He has taken upon him the curse due to our sin, and therefore he can fill us with all his blessings. And these choice blessings are riches which have all been forfeited by our sins. However, he has merited eternal life, a life in peace, peace with God. Are you in need of this peace? Are you in need of the blessings of Christ Jesus? If so, then you recognize something of the Roman centurion who sensed his great need for the Lord Jesus. He beseeched the Lord Jesus, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, or Can you relate to the bleeding woman who came behind Jesus and touched the hem of his garment? Are you in need of him because of the burden of your sin? Maybe someone counters, I think I know something of this need, but I don't know how to become partaker of his blessings. I have forfeited all. I don't know how to attain to this salvation, And indeed, you are poor left to yourself. You are so miserable as long as you don't partake of the blessings of Christ. How do you become a partaker of Christ and his blessings? What do we read in Genesis 14 and Hebrews 7? Melchizedek took the initiative. He met Abraham. And all the blessings which Abraham received were undeserved blessings. Abraham was a poor and needy man. God had called him from terrible idolatry. God had blessed him sovereignly. And Abram had learned to put his trust in the Lord. And in that way, the Lord blessed him with all temporal and eternal blessings. Don't forget that Christ is a high priest for poor and needy sinners who have nothing to offer but guilt. And he remains priest continually. He is also a mighty king. Melchizedek was both king and priest. And among other things, this reveals to us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only high priest who is willing and able to bless poor and needy sinners. Since he is also king, he has power to soften hardened hearts. He has divine power to make you partaker of all his blessings. If you are in need of the applicatory work of the Spirit, you should plead with Christ. Thou art the only high priest, but also eternal king. Break the bonds of sin. Soften my heart. Fill me with thy love. He is able and willing to do so. And watch him standing in front of Abraham. Abraham has just put down his sword and shield. Maybe Melchizedek was clothed with beautiful embroidered garments. Look, he lifts up his arms, stretches forth his hands, and blesses Abraham. And in this we see the Lord Jesus pictured as the risen Lord. When he rose from the dead, he appeared as the blessing Lord Jesus. When he departed from his church, from his disciples, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. He left blessing them. God's church lives under the blessing hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blessings of the Lord Jesus are more and richer than the blessing which Melchizedek gave to Abraham. Look at the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are nail-pierced hands. This is how the disciples saw him departing from them. They saw him as the great high priest after the order of Melchizedek. A high priest continually. He blesses his church on behalf of his God and Father. And he says to all those who are of a broken heart and contrite spirit, though you have sinned against a good-doing God, though you have forfeited all, though you have wounded your conscience for many years, and you are helpless and lost and left to yourself, though your debt is unmeasurable, I offer you my friendship. I offer you my peace. I offer you my righteousness. And God is perfectly satisfied with His Son. When God looks at His people through the blessings hands of Christ Jesus, He will not remember the sins of His people. He will not remember their iniquities. And therefore, Christ's blessing is so rich. The Lord Himself comes along with His blessing. God the Father is satisfied. The Lord is pleased to distribute peace and mercy. And what a miracle. When you get a sight of this blessing, Lord Jesus Christ, because God's compassion, mercy, and goodness accompany Christ's blessings. You are blessed when the more than Melchizedek visits you with His everlasting blessings, His love, His mercy. He visits needy people under the preaching of the gospel. He visits sinners by His word and spirit. Or when you experience something of His gracious nearness because of the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, you become so small and humble. You wonder, how can the Lord be gracious to me? I don't deserve even the smallest blessing since I have grossly sinned against Him. What a miracle! Precisely for such sinners, He shed His blood. He went into death so that He could be a blessing high priest after the order of Melchizedek. His work as only high priest is to bless. All His labors are blessings. Do you notice? Christ's blessings are sufficient, infinite, unconditional, and boundless. It reaches even the chief of sinners. The blessings are so full. He sends His blessings and He applies it to sinners' heart. One of the richest blessings is the promise of the Holy Spirit. Oh, to have the Holy Spirit in your heart means to be partaker of Christ's blessings. Like Paul says in Romans 14, verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness. Do you hear? Righteousness. And peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit, who distributes all the blessings of Christ, is a blessing Himself. His applicatory work is merited by Christ. Look to Christ. Look to His nail-pierced hands. He has promised the powerful operations of the Spirit in the heart, by which He distributes peace and righteousness. In Christ we find boldness to plead His promises. In Christ, His blessings are secure, since His work as high priest is to bless. And therefore it pleases Him that all His people will experience. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. You experience a peace which passes all understanding. Do you know His peace? Do you know Christ as the blessing high priest? Without Him, you are so poor and miserable. Besides the Lord Jesus, there is no peace for your soul. Seek the blessing of the high priest Christ. Today is the day of salvation. And don't rest till you know that you are a partaker of His righteousness and peace. He abides as a priest forever, we read in Hebrews 7. That is one of the offices of Christ as high priest after the ordinance of Melchizedek. He is high priest without beginning of days or end of life. This also refers, congregation, to another meaning. Christ abides a priest continually also means that he does not change. He shall not leave nor forsake. His strength abides forever. And the same can be said of his blessing. His blessing is always firm and powerful. Christ's blessing is always new and fresh, since he is priest continually, priest after the order of Melchizedek. And therefore, he is still a savior to everyone that believes. His work of redemption will never fade away. He has everlasting power. And this is a comfort to all those who discover so much unrighteousness and iniquity in their own heart. To those who must confess that they forfeit God's blessing time and again. To those who know that they cannot trust their own heart since they have discovered that they have a deceitful heart. What a blessing that the salvation of his people is secure in Christ, who is priest after the order of Melchizedek. And what happens when you become partaker of Christ's blessings? You will bow deep in reverence and awe. You are made humble toward the Lord. You are amazed by so many blessings. Love fills your heart. You are overwhelmed by his blessings. And what did Abraham do? And he gave him, that is Melchizedek, tithes of all. He gave him tithe. That means that he gave 10% of the spoils, as we read in Hebrews 7, verse 4. It also means that he gave the tenth of all his possessions. That reaches even further. 10% of all. What does that mean? Well, when you become a partaker of the greatest blessing which God gives to sinners, you also want to offer 10% of all your possessions? What do you think? Would that be a great sacrifice to you? Some people try to give 10% of their income to church and charitable organizations, following the Old Testament commandment about tithing. Some people find this difficult since they have little money to spend. However, we should not overlook the meaning of giving tithe, especially in light of Genesis 14. Abraham gave tithe of all. And this has a deep spiritual meaning. What? Abraham showed that he considered Melchizedek as greater as himself. Abraham subjected himself to Melchizedek. And by offering tithes, he also showed his willingness to submit to the Lord. The tithes are symbolic for all his goods. The tithes are an expression of his love to the Lord God and an acknowledgement of God's right to his whole life. And Abraham expressed his gratitude toward the Lord and his willingness to dedicate his life with all his possession. Abraham expressed to the Lord, "All mine is thine." That is true gratitude toward the Lord. You learn to crucify your carnal desires. You begin to learn what John the Baptist learned by grace. He must increase, I must decrease. You desire that your life to be a song of praise of all his wondrous works. You want your life to be directed and ruled by the Lord. And you seek the Lord's honor in your daily task, in raising your children, in your conduct toward your spouse, toward your children or your parents, but also to your neighbors. Your eyes, your mouth, ears, hands, and feet are His. How do you learn? Through gratitude. Sitting at the feet of the great high priest, Christ Jesus. When He purifies your life, He increasingly confirms you to the image of Christ. And that happens by the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. How will your gratitude be accepted by God, since your best works are stained by sin? The Lord Jesus Christ is the high priest who does not only bless His people, He blesses God as well. We read in verse 20, "Blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand." This means that God is given praise, glory, and honor. Christ Jesus is the praying and blessing high priest. He gives thanks to His God and Father on behalf of His people, because He knows the infirmity of our flesh. He knows of our weaknesses and shortcomings. And He will take up all the prayers and thanksgivings of His people in His perfect prayers. He is the high priest who can have compassion on those who are compassed with infirmities. He lives forever to make intercession for His church. And on behalf of His people, He says to His God and Father, "Blessed be the Most High God." This high priest went a deep way of suffering and death as surety and mediator. He is the only high priest by and in whom God receives all glory and honor and power. Amen.